This is a production of Cornell University.
This is the weirdest version of Jeopardy I've seen in a long time, so. Okay, that was a bad joke. You know what?
I thought it was funny.
I forgot to laugh.
I don't mean, how do you raise your hand?
Yeah, how do you do that on your
laptop? So since it's 6:01, I'll go ahead. For those who, to raise your hand at mechanism, go to the participants button at the bottom of your screen and click that. So now you can see everyone. Yeah, so I can see you as you raise your hand. That's the button. Wherever that button is, yeah, you can figure it out. And then there's the yes and the no when voting does come, so that's easy. keep your hand up until I recognize it, just because that will help me know who's on where on the speakers list, because it auto updates that. So that's extremely helpful from my end. Also know that the messages that you send, whether they be public or private, are still part of the transcript. And so we still do get those at the end of this meeting. So whatever you say privately, Gavin, you're not actually messaging the right person. I'm going to call you out. Like, you're messaging me. Leave me alone. I'm trying to figure this out. So yes. And make sure that you have your name on everything correctly. Like, don't have like a fake name, have your real name, just because this is part of like the actual thing. But yeah. As everyone, Ryan Lombardi is going to get on the call at 6:05. So we're going to like kind of
really quick, who is Joe. Fall senior year? They need to give their actual name because this is legislative history.
Someone said something. Who was that?
I think, wait, is it fine that I'm using my phone?
That's yeah, fine, right? I can still okay. see you. You just okay. won't be able to, I think, raise your hand. I don't know how the raise your hand section works on a phone, but just know that. So if you do have something to say, like, just text me and I can
okay.
speak this list okay. that way.
Debbie, I'll just go like this.
Okay, yeah. I can see you then. Debbie, okay. you have your hand raised?
Yeah.
I was just seeing how it worked.
Okay, yeah. So keep your hand up until I, like, lower your hand. So Gavin, you have something? No, you're just raising your hand. Sarah, you have something? No? Wonderful, great, wonderful, wow. Oh, there's Ryan now, so he'll, is he good? Hi, Ryan.
Hello, everyone.
You could go ahead and kick it off. We have a ton of people in the chat, so go ahead, do what you need to do, and yeah.
Perfect, thank you all for letting me hop in for a moment. I just wanted to say hello. I miss you all so much. I hope everyone is doing as well as can be expected. I know it's tough. It's been a hard couple of weeks. I hope you're all practicing self-care to the best of your ability and managing through this. As a student life person, I just miss so much being in your presence physically and being around you. And I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. We're doing the best we can here on the ground, trying to keep things moving forward here. I wish you all the best of luck as you start virtual instruction next week. I did give Joe a little bit of a hard time because it's technically spring break week. You're not supposed to be having SA meetings and things like that. But I know you've got lots to discuss based on the flood of emails I've been getting over the last week about these topics. So I wish you all the best as you deliberate. But again, I just wanted to pop on for a minute to see all of you, let you see me, let you know I'm thinking about you, I miss you. I wish you all the best, and please don't hesitate to let me know if there's anything I can do to support you from afar. All right?
Wonderful. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Joe. Thank
you. Yep.
Bye, everyone.
See you. Risa,
Hi, I just wanted to make sure it was all right for me to attend this meeting because I always get a notice of the meetings, and I'm really interested in what you're talking about. So I just didn't know if there were any sort of attendance issues or rules or such.
Nope, you can be on the call. You can even talk if you want. Same thing as always, like raise your hand if you on the thing. So yeah, everything is good.
Okay, great, thanks.
Yep. So just want to set some kind of ground rules for everyone. Like I said, in order to talk, anyone is allowed to talk at these meetings. They are public, open to the public. Any member of the public can talk. Please go to your participants tab on the bottom of your screen and use the raise your hand function. That helps me as the chair of this meeting organize who's about to speak, who's on the speakers list. So everyone is having an equitable time slot to speak. This is already a fairly larger meeting, and we're doing it virtually. So this is definitely, you know, a bit harder just to get everyone's points across. I understand we might be in different time zones. We might have different connections. And that's really important for us to recognize. So please be respectful for everyone who's on the call. Please make sure that your connection is as good as possible. If you do like kind of zone out, feel free to message either myself or Kat through the chat function. We do ask that when you're not speaking, you are on mute yourself so that we can make sure that there is no background sounds and anything like that. I really do appreciate it. Please be using your full name because this is a recording and this will be part of a public record. And I appreciate that as well. And if we do hit some snags, please be patient. This is the first time the SA has went totally virtual in our meeting. So this is kind of a test run, and this is a contentious topic as well. And we want to respect all viewpoints during this meeting. And we really want people to be able to say what they need to be saying to each other. So with that, we are considering the resolution that was sent out in the agenda. So please make sure you have that up and your ability to reference it throughout the meeting. I appreciate that as well. And we'll go ahead and we will get started. So if you want to be on the speakers list, please use your raise your hand function so we can get everyone on the speakers list. I'll give it a couple of minutes, just a pause or two. So everyone who wants to get their hand up, get your hand up. It just puts you on the list already. And I will be, you don't have to lower your hand or anything. I can do that on my functionality as well. So I'll recognize you as time goes on. And if I mispronounce your name for a member of the community, please I totally apologize in advance for that, just because, I do. And I respect, you know, when people say the right name for people. So yeah, I'll go ahead and get started. Brian.
Yeah. Hey guys. This is odd and interesting, but, glad to be here. Hope everyone's doing okay, by the way. Basically my main question is I there's a little bit of ambiguity in the resolution right now. So looking at line 50, be it therefore resolved, the Cornell Student Assembly supports the universal pass and strongly encourages the university as a whole to adopt the grading model. I'm also seeing other things about this is, you know, universal SU versus universal pass versus universal pass fail.
Actually, Brian, can I interrupt you? I forgot I didn't let the sponsors actually introduce the resolution.
Oh, sure.
I think that it's actually very important.
Absolutely.
I just have been dealing with this for quite a long time. So I'm kind of in that mindset. But yeah, whoever the sponsors are, I'll let you go ahead and take it away, and then we'll move into Brian and the rest of the speakers list. So whoever our sponsors who wants to present the resolution, take it away.
So yes, Gavin and I wrote this resolution this morning. So this is something we've been thinking about for a while. And I'm sure you guys have seen it on like social media, Facebook, etc. And so the objective of the resolution is like the Student Assembly support of Universal Pass. The Faculty Senate will be voting on it tomorrow. And so we kind of wanted to do this before them and kind of like show the student support for this like grading policy before they voted on it. And we have a couple other sponsors on the Zoom call if anybody else wants to give like more like in-depth like presentation, but that's kind of like the overview of, yes. And yeah, I do, Brian, acknowledge that there has been some like confusion of like whether this is universal pass or universal pass fail, and that will also be addressed like as we continue.
anyone else from the sponsors who want to add any clarifying information for the group?
Yeah, so I just want to quickly, Ahmed, I think you're on the call, I can't find you right now.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, yeah, if you want to go ahead and do what we kind of talked about. Also, hi, my name's Natalia. I'm with Big Red Pass. I kind of just want to quickly say, please read the resolution at its full length. Like, please read all of it and consider everything when you are thinking about this, because you all know that we have, like, as a student assembly, a lot of times we do shape how things come out. So that's all.
Thank you. And as people from who are non-SA members, people from the community, please just state your name and your year and any other relevant affiliations you feel is necessary to identify yourself, just so we can, you know, since this is virtual and this is a recording, just to be able to, when we transcribe this into notes, actually physical notes, this helps our clerk do so. And please also on our note of our clerk, please everyone make sure that you are wishing John well. He did test positive. He, you know, and his family is going through, you know, a time with this pandemic. So please keep him in your thoughts, your prayers, if you do practice that, because I think that would mean a lot to him. And I'll give it back to Ahmed, who, you know, is the other sponsor of the resolution.
Unmute yourself.
Who's also next on the speakers list? So yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Ahmed El Samak. I am also one of the organizers of Big Red Pass, and I stand in solidarity with Mariah, Liel, Natalia, and Gavin in why we need this policy put forward. I think Mariah did a good job of explaining why we needed it. I think I'm going to just read some of the stories that kind of prompted why we found this movement and why we're so aggressive in trying to get this passed, because I think the stories kind of exemplify what people are actually going through right now. And even if we see the statistics and numbers on the TV every day, I think it doesn't mean anything when we don't look at the actual stories behind those statistics and see the way in which our student body is being affected by this disease in a number of different ways, kind of breaking through those veil of words that we see on the news. So I'm just going to read a couple of the stories right now to kind of, so you can get an understanding of why we started this. The first is from Sarah Bastos, who's an undergrad. My mother has stage 4 brain cancer. She is immunocompromised. I will probably lose her during this pandemic since she has essentially no immune system due to the aggressive form of cancer she has. I support a universal pass because it will allow me to focus on my family while they're still here rather than spending all of my time on schoolwork during this trying time. The second is from Alexander Schaaf. Also, when I read the names, they've given us permission to make this public, so don't have a concern about that. I struggle with bipolar depression, and the hysteria surrounding coronavirus led to a few life-threatening mood swings, and it seems like I will not be passing several classes, which means I will not graduate this May as intended. I highly support Universal Pass because it takes into account the chaos and the mental hardship of students rather than making them feel shameful for not being able to keep up amongst all the chaos. The third is anonymous. My mom passed away yesterday, and because of the coronavirus, the hospital did not allow visitors. People need to realize that this affects more than just the people who get sick from the coronavirus. My mom died and my dad got laid off in the same week. I honestly don't know how I'm going to finish the semester. And I'm just going to read one more so we can get into discussing the resolution. My sister passed away last night, and with no income and a funeral to plan, my family is in deep financial trouble. Cornell, knowing that this is what many students are going through, would lose all my respect as a learning institution for maintaining the graded option. It's cruel to have people choose between their academic integrity and their families who need them right now.
I just want to, Ahmed, if you're done, I just want to briefly say something before we go into discussion. I just wanted to talk about why it's important that this is universal and not opt-in based pass-fail. If you look at grad schools and the statements that grad schools are putting out, grad schools are saying that if your pass-fail system is universal, then we'll accept the pass-fail grades. So this still puts pressure on people to take letter grades if it's not universal. So it effectively doesn't matter if the system isn't universal. It's not doing as much help to those people. I also want to address the point about this system, you know, that it's not equal, but it's not, it's always not equal. Like at Cornell, everyone has different circumstances. And yes, that might be true, but this is so further perpetuated than it ever has been. We're talking about a lot of students who are in situations where they're taking care of children, where they've become the primary breadwinners, where they're dealing with sick family members or they've become sick themselves. This is just so unprecedented that it's not comparable to the situation that we all have when we're living on campus and going to school. So I just wanted to say that. I don't know if any of the other co-sponsors want to say something before we start discussion.
Thank you to the co-sponsors of the resolution, and I'll let Brian continue his point that he had. Thanks for your patience, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks everyone for sharing and giving us that that overview. So I think sort of my question from before, I guess, was answered in that it sounds like this is, the resolution is asking for a universal pass, which my understanding of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, someone, is that everyone at this point will receive a P on their transcript for all courses they're currently enrolled in. There will be a notation on the transcript that this semester, due to COVID, everyone is going, you know, and the big red pass and all of these things, that will be how things are. And there will be no opportunity for anyone to fail a course. There will be no opportunity for anyone to receive a letter grade from a course. There will be no distinction whatsoever. All courses that students are currently enrolled in, they will receive a P on their transcript. Is that correct? Is that the intention of this resolution?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Given that, the sort of place that I'm coming from after speaking to a number of students, a number of friends, is that, and also somewhat of my own opinion on this, is I think I'm very much in support of a universal pass-fail, SU. I'm not sure what the difference between pass-fail and SU is, but I'm going to use them interchangeably in this case. And if I shouldn't be, I can stop doing that. But basically, universal pass-fail to me makes a lot of sense, right? It ensures that students don't need to worry about, you know, letter grades. They don't need to worry about achieving really, really high marks in a class, right? It allows them the opportunity to still pass a class and not need to worry about, you know, oh, am I going to get an A or a B or a B plus or a C, whatever it is. The way that, in my view, it differs from the current proposal of Big Red Pass is that with this notion of everyone passes all of their courses, I worry that it significantly de-incentivizes students from A, showing up to class in the first place, B, doing any sort of assignment, and C, really trying to learn the material. And, you know, in a lot of cases, there are classes that students take because they are genuinely interested in the material, right? You know, that's great, and we love when that happens. But we also know that there are a lot of classes that students take where they really don't care about the material, and they're taking it because it's a requirement. I think there's also something to be said of, even if you're taking a class to enjoy the material and to learn, very often you may not want to complete any of the assignments in that course. You may see them as busy work, you may see them as unnecessary or annoying or just extra additional things that you need to do. And under a universal pass, there is no reason, on it from a student perspective, to complete an assignment other than to get something out of it. And we know as students that most of the time we don't complete assignments because we think there's value to be had out of it. We complete them because they're part of our grade and we need to do them, so we pass the class. For those reasons, I very, very much support a universal pass-fail system that ensures that all students, regardless of current situation, don't need to worry about achieving letter grades. It solves the Harvard Medical School problem, which is one that a few other people I'm sure will bring up, if you choose, you know, under the current option of allowing students to choose between graded or pass-fail, if you were to choose pass-fail and Cornell were still to allow students to choose graded, Harvard Med School would no longer accept credit for the course that you chose to be pass-fail. That's unacceptable, right? And that means that we are not doing our job of supporting those students that are in situations that require them to take a step back from academics and worry about things that are going on in their personal lives. So for that reason, the current system of choice between a great letter grade and pass fail doesn't work for me and doesn't work for those students that are in those situations that cannot worry about getting really, really good grades and courses when they have so many other things going on in their lives. So that's sort of where I stand. I love to hear perspectives on why we're looking at universal pass versus universal pass fail, because I think that's a big thing that a lot of people have some questions and there may be some contention about.
I'll let the co-sponsors respond to that. Can't hear you. You're still on mute.
Am I good now?
Yep.
Okay. So thank you, Brian. So correct me if I'm wrong afterwards, but it seems like you're kind of behind the universality aspect to have a universal grading system, but just incorporating a failing mechanism to incentivize students to do the work. So I think that's a fair concern, but I think there's a few responses as to what incentive students may have regardless of whether or not they're going to fail the class to continue caring about the material. So I think firstly, you have an incentive to maintain good relations with the professor insofar as you might have that professor later on in another course, or you may want letters of recommendation maybe from that professor, or research opportunities, or the fact that a professor you take might also be in contact with that professor. So I think those create incentives as well. But I think we also have to look at the fact that to some extent Cornellians were picked because of their desire to care about their classes, or to some extent they care about the courses that they're taking and they care about the material that they're absorbing. I think we should have faith in that decision that we've made, that Cornellians will care about their material and will want to do well in that class. But I also think Mariah and Liel also had something to add upon that, but those are just some alternative incentives that students may have aside from the fact that they, aside from the possibility of failing that class.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think that we're at one of the best universities in the country, and I don't feel that I attend Cornell and do the work for my classes just because I'm working towards a grade, working towards a degree, working towards the next step. I feel that I do the work for my classes because A, I'm genuinely interested, but even when I'm not, I know that it'll be a growing experience for me, and I feel grateful to have the opportunity to learn from such experienced people. So to me, it's such a non-issue to have this idea of universal pass, because I don't know what students you're talking to, but from my view, the students at Cornell should be grateful for just receiving the education that they are.
I'll let Brian have a quick 30-second response.
Yeah, so totally think that's valid. And listen, I think, you know, Ahmed, I don't know you, but as someone that brought up about this initiative, I am sure you were an incredible student. You're a high achiever. You really care about your academics. Liel, I know that is the same for you. And I know that's the same for a lot of us here. I also know that that's not the case for many Cornell students, despite what we may want to believe. And I think the other thing to look at is, the example I'm thinking of is, let's say you have an 840 class, right? You are on the East Coast, right? You can wake up for your 840, or you could not. You could sleep in. You've been sleeping in most likely for the past 3 weeks because many students have been doing that. What reason do you have to wake up for an 840 class, let's say a freshman writing seminar, if you're a freshman and don't really particularly like the material, but you just had to take it because it's a requirement? What incentive do you have to wake up for your 840 freshman writing seminar if you know no matter what, whether or not you show up, you're going to pass the class?
Well, why do we care is my response. Like, if the student doesn't want to benefit themselves by going to their class, then why do we need to, do something that they already don't believe is in their best interest? Like, they clearly don't think it's good enough for them to go to their class. So why do we need to prove to them that it is?
Yeah, I think that's fair. As long as we're comfortable with that notion, right? Like, I think that's totally valid. And I like that perspective. I think that's a bold thing to say. And if we're comfortable with that, then great. But if not, I think that's something we should figure out, right?
I'm going to move down the speakers list. Sorry, everyone, just because there are people who do.
Mariah wanted to respond to that, and she's one of the co-sponsors.
I was just going to say, just kind of agreeing with Liel, I think that, you know, like throughout the semester, like you're allowed to skip class. I don't see why we would like make it so that way now you shouldn't skip class. I mean, I guess I just don't really see how like skipping class now is any different than skipping class during the semester.
Okay. Valentina.
Hi, everyone. Well, first, hope everyone is doing well, and thank you for bringing up this resolution. I think over the past few days, so I just want to share a little bit of like what I have heard from across other universities. So from many other universities right now, I think for BU and for McGill, and then also CMU, they're thinking about extending the deadlines for optional SU. And this is an option that I have been getting over a lot of student responses that they all want this, because it kind of like favors both sides for students who are, you know, with a lot of the situations that Ahmed has brought up, and then a lot of the situations that what Universal Pass is trying to achieve. I think it gives the students flexibility to try to change their grade afterwards. But then also this is an option for students who need to, you know, change their GPA and also applying for grad schools and like improving, maintaining their grades for full-time job positions. So I'm kind of curious to hear what everyone else like is thinking about this, just kind of like not regarding with your opinion for the current resolution, because I think like obviously this situation have both sides and we need to like make compromise for both sides. And I think, in my opinion, I think this is the best one so far. So if anyone want to add on and respond.
Go for it.
Gavin, are you going, or am I?
Yeah, you know what, I can actually take this one.
Okay, sounds good.
So where I think that like it is understood that if it is like, oh, for example, this would be the big red choice option. And where I think that we are in like the mindset that, oh, this favors people on both sides, I actually think that it's like quite counterproductive to like the notion even of doing pass fail at all. We can also look at like Columbia's like current model of how they have the hidden grades, right? So it's like pass fail all the way down, and then like you uncover your grade. And I was talking to Sarah Sun about this earlier, and it just comes to the point where it then pressures students to have to do that graded option. So I think that's one component of it. And I think the other component of this is that we have to understand that if Cornell chooses to move in this direction of doing pass-fail or just pass, universal pass-fail rather, it's going to be understood when the students are applying to med school, law school, graduate school, on fourth, and internships, jobs, that this will be accounted for, right? We can also look at our peer institution, Brown University. When you go on tours at Brown, like they often brag, oh, 90% of our students take like 80% of their classes pass fail, and we still place kids into like Harvard and like Yale Med and like all these other things, right? So I think that we can understand that this is like not unprecedented, even in an unprecedented situation. So I think that's why we should move towards it.
Thank you. Yeah, go for it.
Am I good? Can you hear
me? Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
So I don't think that the big red choice option really kind of appeals to both sides, because one side of the universal pass is kind of fighting for a universal option that doesn't show the distinction between letter grades. And I think any opt-in policy creates the stigma that students applying to grad school get, because the reason why an S is stigmatized more than an A is because grad schools can see that you had the choice to choose the A, but you opted into not doing that. But also, any letter grade distinction gives an unfair advantage to more privileged students to be able to boost their GPA, whereas some students may not have that option because they're forced into choosing the SU option. What the universal grading policy does is it protects those people who don't have the ability to boost their GPA this semester, and doesn't give others an unfair advantage this semester that they otherwise wouldn't have under normal circumstances.
Thank you. Jacob Fite.
Yeah, so first of all, of course, I wanna thank everybody. I hope everyone's staying safe during this time. I don't think that anyone wants to be here longer than we have to, obviously. We have a lot of stuff that we gotta get through. We have a lot of stuff that we have to do personally in our own lives. And so I'm not going to reiterate what everyone else has said. I think Ahmed made up a great point just now regarding the inequity in terms of advantage that the the choice to either opt into an SU program or to be graded has. Originally, I was actually a supporter of the Big Red choice, but after sitting down and actually thinking over the opportunities for different students, as well as for students who choose to take a graded option. Let's think about it this way. This is a perspective that nobody has brought up yet, and I think is very valid, is that a student who has a 4.0 this semester, in my opinion, almost has an invisible asterisk next to their name, next to their GPA when they start applying to grad school, because of course they had an unfair advantage in trying to raise their GPA during this time. So automatically, you know, if you're coming in it from that mindset that you need to use this semester to raise your GPA, you're putting yourself, in my opinion, at a disadvantage against not only Cornell students who chose the SU, but also all other schools, students from all other schools who had the SU policy implemented forcibly. I don't like to use that term, but it's what's coming to mind. So personally, I'm very much in favor of the universal SU policy. In terms of making a universal pass, that's something that I'm currently trying to interpret. Again, I would like to imagine that everybody, you know, I think that everyone we're speaking with here and everyone that's here actually cares about their grades and cares about school. And I would like to imagine that everyone at Cornell does. But as Brian mentioned, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the case. I wrote a piece on this that I put out to some folks who had emailed me regarding my personal opinion, and there's got to be some sort of incentive to make sure that students are there. And the reason I say that, students that can be there, the reason I say that is because there are students, I'm sure of it, and I know so, I'll be one of them, who is going to attend all my discussion sections. They are going to be in lectures, and we want to have a community of students who are willing to engage with each other. I think that a vital part of the education system is that students are engaging with each other. And when we have half the students absent, I think that really significantly depletes our educational opportunities. And honestly, I feel like it's not the value that we pay for or that we work towards as students.
Thank you. I'll let one of the co-sponsors respond.
So I guess a few things. Yeah, I do agree that when there are grades and when there are people getting graded and there are people going pass fail, the people who are getting graded are like getting a grade that's probably higher because there are people in the class who aren't working as hard, right? Like the curve is lower, et cetera. The averages are lower, et cetera. But, and then I guess to like your other point, I guess, like at least in my classes so far, a lot of professors have to do the pre-recorded lecture. I'm pretty sure they were told that by the faculty, like by the dean of faculty. And so I guess I'm wondering like what the point was about like people attending lecture and engaging with each other, because a lot of my classes, at least I'm under the impression that most classes aren't really going to have that component anymore anyways, with the whole like pre-recorded lecture kind of not being mandated, but I think like slightly mandated. And so, yeah, I do think that like engagement is important, but at the same time, I don't think that at a time like this, we need to necessarily be like promoting engagement. I think that it's great, but I think like, you know, this is a time where like we do have a lot going on. People have a lot going on familially, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I may have misspoke by saying a lecture. I meant discussion section. And really the example I'm trying to think of is perhaps a student that's in a argumentation class or a public speaking class, or perhaps an IDP session, right? I personally feel like if I was in any of those classes, I would honestly move out of the class. I don't feel that you're getting the same kind of experience that you would have if everyone was engaging. Now, I totally understand where you're coming from, that not everyone can participate. And that's something that I think that we need to consider, and that I'm not sure how we can do this. And I think that's a great reason why we're all here talking about it, is that we can come up with a way to have students participate. You know, I'm also thinking that the students that don't want to show up to class probably wouldn't even have participated in the first place. So maybe this is all in a discussion for nothing, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, yeah. So I kind of agreed with your last point a lot when you said that the students who wouldn't show up in the status quo probably wouldn't show up now. And I think that's largely the case. But I think we have to ask ourselves whether we're willing to sacrifice a little bit more engagement in classes for the added benefit of protecting every single
person who would have otherwise failed under an SU system. So it's kind of about weighing our options at this point and weighing the likelihood of each scenario. So the likelihood of like decreased engagement kind of would have happened anyway, insofar as those students aren't the ones really contributing the core to the class or that are bringing in other students to like care about their education. I don't think their losses are really going to be that important to the benefit of engagement. But I think what we lose out on definitely is the few students who really this semester cannot put in work. Like if you don't have access to Wi-Fi or internet, or you yes. literally just have to become a caretaker at home, it's kind of weighing those options. And I think we should prioritize the benefit of protecting those really marginalized people who really just, we can't let them fail this semester over the potential, like the potentiality, I guess, of like maybe some more engagement, which I don't buy would have happened. So I guess that's kind of like, you have to weigh those two against each other.
We have a fairly extensive speakers list, and I do want to give everyone an opportunity. So what I will be doing is I'll be taking two individuals off the speakers list and then allow the co-sponsors to reply to that. So if you're one of the co-sponsors, please make note of the two arguments that are coming after, like before you, just to make sure you're totally there. So next I have Tomas.
Hey y'all, hope you're doing good. So I just gonna start this like with like I guess a trigger warning for what might be like anxiety inducing what I'm about to say, but like I think we need to think about the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like we're here talking about grades in the middle of a pandemic. Like hundreds of thousands of people are suffering from a disease, and thousands of people have died and will die, and we're worried about grades. And like, I think we're all in this little bubble now, a lot of us, where maybe we're not personally affected by this, but we're starting to have friends who are, or family members who are. And I don't think it's affected a lot of us fully yet, but just the way it's escalating, like it's not unlikely that you or someone you know are gonna be affected by this. And I think the fact that we're worrying about grades right now is honestly ridiculous. If it were up to me, universal pass and the semester is over. That being said, you know, regarding attendance and involvement, that like that's not our concern. It's not like it's not my job to worry about whether my classmates are going to participate in class at all. Like that's my professor's concern. My concern is my fellow students and the communities I'm supposed to represent, and the fact that, you know, I have friends whose mothers are dying in hospitals right now and like are not supposed to be expected to like study for their chemistry finals. So I think at the end of the day, like we need to worry about like what our concern should be. And like our concern is not whether our like fellow students are involved in classes. And frankly, like whether they are, like why are we expecting anyone to be able to do homework right now? Like, yes, people who are already like disenfranchised and don't have access to internet, et cetera, like it's difficult for them to begin with. But even like someone who is not in that situation, who is okay, relatively, you know, financially, et cetera, we're living in the middle of a pandemic, y'all. Like, I just think people need to process the state of the world that we are in right now. And the fact that, you know, even if, like, after the disease passes, the long-term ramifications of what the world is going through right now, and understand that much of our student body is filled with anxiety about this and how that might affect their ability to do work. I know for me personally, like, I think about anything other than Netflix, and it's a lot for me. And I'm at Cornell with perfectly good internet because I was approved to stay, right? So I really can't imagine. And as far as like discussions, I'm an English major, so all of my classes are discussion based, and all of my professors have moved to pre-recorded lectures, which is also not what I signed up for as an English major. Like that's not what I love about my major, right? And I understand the argument that some people are making about like a grade boost for this semester, and maybe they were reliant upon that because they're a graduating senior, they're a rising senior, and they're applying to grad school. And I get it, and I sympathize, I empathize, because I was hoping for grade boost this semester, but it is so much bigger than us right now. Like, it is so much bigger than a grade boost. And grad schools will understand, the world will understand, because the entire world is experiencing this right now. Like, we're in the middle of a historical event, and we're worried about grades. So I just wanted to get that perspective. That was supposed to be way more organized, but just started rambling. So anyways, hope y'all are doing great otherwise.
Thank you, Carabelle. You're on mute still.
Okay, hello everyone. I hope everyone is safe and well. I stayed on campus, but I feel that we've heard a lot of people from both sides. And I think I'd like to make a motion to vote. Is that possible?
Yeah, so there's been a motion to
vote. I second the motion.
There's a second. Is there any dissent to moving into voting?
Dissent.
Thank you, Brian. Can you state your dissent, please?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a question of there are different levels of this, right? Like, so it's at this point, voting in this resolution is either universal pass or the current system. And I think that's a false choice. Like, I think there are other options here that that other members of the assembly might be more comfortable with. So I would like to hear a little bit more. I don't even necessarily need discussion on that, but maybe figuring out some mechanism of allowing us to have voting on universal pass fail versus universal pass versus nothing versus big red choice, whatever it is. But I don't think we should be voting on just all or nothing right now, because if it fails and we go to nothing, I think that's a massive problem. So
thank you, Brian, for your dissent. So we'll now be moving in a vote to vote for the SA members, unless Kiribel, you want to withdraw your motion.
I'll keep my motion.
Okay. So Kiribel has stayed his motion. We're therefore moving in a vote to vote. This requires 2/3. I'm correct, Debbie? Yep. Thank you, Debbie.
18.
Thank you. 18 votes.
What's the vote to vote?
The vote to vote is, so basically, if you want to move into voting on the resolution, you will vote. You should be voting yes. If you want to continue discussion, you would essentially be voting no. That's what we're voting on. So for the SA members who are voting members, please use the yes and no tabs in the participants section, and I'll get a real-time update. So please take your time. I'll count. Please get your votes in by 6:43. Thank you so much.
Get our votes in by when?
In a minute.
Oh, also, if you're not an SA member, please don't vote.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Where am I voting?
You have to go into the participants tab. There's a check mark. There's a green check mark yes and a red check mark no.
Oh, okay. So no is if you don't support
going into the vote. Okay. Thank you. It is 6:43, and so that's the end of the vote. So the final vote was 10-4, 13 against, 1 abstaining. Therefore, this motion fails, and we'll be continuing with discussion. So if you were on the speaker's list, if you're abstaining, then, I mean, you shouldn't be abstaining unless you have a conflict of interest in this manner. That is an abstention. If you are abstaining, then message me privately, and I'll count it. But so it seems like the final vote was, it's now 10-11-1, but that still fails. So we're going to be continuing into discussion. We're going to be continuing with the speakers list. So I'll give everyone time to raise their hands, to make sure that if you were on the speakers list, you do get your chance to talk. Thank you. Whoever just took a screenshot, I can hear that.
Yes.
So the next person I have on the speakers list is Johnny Crossman. Johnny, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me. So I am a supporter of Big Red Choice, which is the counter movement to Big Red Pass. My main concern with Big Red Pass is that they are trying to implement a universal grading system that is not universally wanted. Not all people want a universal pass-fail system, so we shouldn't have a universal pass-fail system. There are many students, including those disadvantaged students that you mentioned before, who still want grading. For instance, let me read you a quote from our petition. My grades this semester are absolutely essential for me to apply to graduate school master's programs my senior year. I recently found out that Korea treats the ADHD medications that I take as illegal substances. This leaves only one option of civil service for me to fulfill my military duty. In order to qualify for this path, Korea's government requirement minimum education level of master's. My current GPA is below 3. I am currently taking 6 major courses as I had planned to use this semester to boost my GPA as much as possible. All 6 major courses going down as satisfactory on my transcript will effectively kill off any chance of me into graduate school. I will have to drop out of school for the semester if forced SU grading occurs. The fact of the matter is that if you're in such a situation that you are personally affected by this pandemic, you can explain so in your graduate applications. We are in the midst of a global pandemic that is crippling the most powerful nations on Earth. Graduate schools will be understanding if you have the chance to explain yourself why you had to take the your classes SU. And right now we have that system in place.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. I'll let the co-sponsors respond because I didn't let them respond after Kirabel. So yeah, go for it, co-sponsors.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
So kind of a few responses, and then if I miss anything, Mariah, Gavin, the elder, and Tali, y'all can jump in. So the first thing, I'm kind of going to work in reverse order. So if you say that the grad schools will be understanding, then I don't see why they wouldn't be understanding to that student who says that I have below a 3 GPA, but all of my classes were mandated to be universal pass-fail, and if I don't get in, I will be going to South Korea to join the military. I think if it is true what you say, that these grad schools will be understanding, I think they would also be understanding that your GPA could have been higher this semester and to look at other factors of your application to benefit you. But secondarily, I don't think the concern is whether or not this is universally wanted. Policies don't have to be implemented based on 100% approval rates. We have to look at the costs and benefits of that policy. And I think we have to look at whether or not students having the choice is a legitimate one and whether it benefits the student population and marginalized groups as a whole. And I don't think that's the case, because I think you assume that assumption relies on that people's choices are limited to themselves. But someone's choice to a letter grade stigmatizes the choice of another student who is forced to choose that SU option, because grad schools and employers can see that it was a choice. I think sometimes we have to limit the choices of people to protect those of us who are most marginalized. I think it's similar to social distancing, because the majority of us college students, like, I don't think it was universally wanted to cancel slope day or to cancel graduation or to send everybody home. But we had to do it because the minority of the population, elderly and immunocompromised people, would be in danger if some of our choices were allowed to prevail. I think we have to sometimes limit the choices of students if it means protecting the most marginalized within our population. So I don't think it has to be universally supported. I think it just has to benefit the most marginalized students. And I think that this does.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Ahmed said. I think that sometimes, you know, like the benefit of the group outweighs sometimes like the harm that's done to like an individual. I personally would love to have straight A's and like continue having my classes graded, but like I understand also that like I'm not the most marginalized of like the community. And I think that like furthermore, if that isn't something that you can get, like if that isn't something you agree with, like, you know, that is like a personal like decision that you can make about your like individual decision. I mean, your individual situation, and like, yeah, not everybody is going to agree with this. And I don't think that we ever like claim that everyone is going to like support this, but you know, this is something that I think benefits more people than it hurts.
Thank you. Next on the speakers list, I have Feng Gui. I think I said that right. If I didn't, I'm sorry.
Hi, hello. Yes, it's Feng Rei.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Thanks for having me at the meeting. So I'm the author of the Sun article in a guest room called Grading Schemes Aside, the Administration Will Need to Make a Compromise. So I definitely empathize with Universal Pass, like where it's coming from. Because I understand like the grades themselves, they have that presumed kind of assumption that all students in that class are given standardized resources for them to learn the class material. And I can see where the universal pass may be coming from that point of view, because if you're not given standardized resources, there's no point for letter grades. But I think we also just need to look at like the specific group that the universal pass people are looking at, or the policy is looking at. Like policy itself is trying to help all the disadvantaged people, or the acclaimed disadvantaged people, or more specifically technologically challenged individuals who may not have access to learning resources during this time. I think we also, and those students largely overlap with our lower income peers. And I just think it's important to note that there are so many types of lower income people or students, right? Like there's also some of them who do want letter grades. And I just to put in a larger picture, like that to them is some sign of capacity for upward mobility in the society. So like to be more specific, I personally feel like transcript grades, they represent individual achievements, and that is still very important in this society when individuals from a lower class are trying to succeed in society. They don't have their family last name to help them to support them. They don't have the financial background to support them. So all they can depend on are the letter grades for them to move from a lower class and upward. And this capacity for the upward mobility would be removed if there's universal pass policy. So like that's the two sides I'm getting at with this universal SU or universal pass. And in my article on the Sun, I specifically pointed out that I think the university at this point is the party that should be making compromises. Like we students are here talking about what kind of grading policy we want for everyone. And we are kind of just arguing from, like we're like, I feel like the current proposed policy with the given, let's say material conditions, let's say, like with the technology given to every student right now, I feel like all these policies, none of these policies are going to benefit everyone. And I recognize that. And I think the university here should jump in that, let's say, if you don't have technology access that you need to have an equalized access to all the learning materials in the class, then the administration should give them the access or the technology that they need to access the class materials. And that is not impossible specifically because, like I said, for example, Learning Strategy Center is already providing tablets for its teaching assistants. And I think that is something the university definitely has the potential capacity to do, especially if you're only looking at a minority of people who are challenged by technology access. So that's my major point, I guess. I think university here should try to equalize everyone's access. And then from there, we should still keep letter grades because they are very important for all the individuals from all classes in society because of the fact that it is a symbol for them. It is a symbol for the capacity of upward mobility for the lower class people to succeed in society, just to put in a larger picture. And so finally, I want to end my speech with talking about the bigger picture. So yes, there is a larger pandemic and there are people who are suffering so much worse than us who are mainly worried about letter grades or not here. But what does that leave us? Like, what does that big picture leave us? Should we just cancel the semester at all? And if we continue, if the argument is that we should not worry about our grades during a large pandemic, then we're probably talking about all kinds of grades. Like neither SU nor letter grades matter in this larger pandemic. Yeah, so if the quote unquote large pandemic is the issue here, I think that would be my kind of something to think about to end my speech. Thank you.
Thank you for your thoughts. Sarah's son had a point of information. So Sarah, can you say what your point of information is?
Yeah, so this is going back to the discussion previously about, I think between Ahmed and speaker, but I think it's really important to account for the difference between grad schools making accommodations for students who would otherwise be qualified and students never having a chance to prove that they are indeed qualified. So, like, I guess if we're relying on grad schools to be compassionate to students who could have, like, who could potentially have a bad semester in, like, in response to this epidemic, like, of course that would be reasonable. But the problem is, like, that the very people that, the very students that the Big Red Pass is trying to present is oftentimes the students who are most in need of a GPA boost. And the Universal Pass doesn't acknowledge that many students who struggle during their first 2 years at Cornell may have been, you know, due to difficult personal circumstances or because they were less academically prepared, are counting on being able to raise their GPA to be competitive for graduate schools, to maintain scholarships, and et cetera. And the thing is that there is a lot more at stake for these students if that doesn't work out. And if we really want to support a policy that supports the most vulnerable, then we cannot weaponize as a partnership to forward a cause that is not in the best of everyone's vulnerable group.
Debbie has informed me that this is not a point of information. I do appreciate your thoughts, and I will keep you on the speakers list. Sorry about that.
Joe, do we get to respond as the co-sponsors to this point?
Unfortunately, I'm going to let Colin go, and then the co-sponsors can go. Sarah, I do still have you on the speakers list, so please don't lose the thought. I do appreciate your thoughts, though. So, Colin, go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Anybody?
Yep, we can hear you. Oh, you're kind of crackly though. Colin, your connection is bad, so if... Okay, we'll skip you. Feel free to put your thoughts down in the chat, and we'll consider that. Thanks. The co-sponsors can respond.
I just want to say that I think that there's a dichotomy here between students who are talking about being nervous about their lives and the lives of those around them and students who are worried about their grade. And I think that if you look at the testimonies from Big Red Pass compared to the testimonies of Big Red Choice, it's a lot of students talking about their grades and disadvantage when it comes to that, and students talking about medical situations, students talking about being scared that because they're immunocompromised, they might die in this pandemic, students who are losing parents, losing loved ones, being put in situations where they have to act as caretakers and breadwinners in such an unprecedented situation. And to me, there's just no comparison between people's lives and people's grades. And I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, go for it. Other co-sponsors. Yeah, you're muted. Oh, you're good. Okay.
Honestly, sorry. Can I?
Yeah, you can go, Natalia. Yeah.
I just wanted to quickly hop on and say that I genuinely have no words for what I just heard. So I'm just going to agree with Leo because I'm at a loss for words, honestly. Like, wow. In the worst possible way, in case that wasn't clear.
Thank you. Alexandria, you're next.
Can I make a motion?
Yeah, Brian, go for it.
Yeah, I want a motion for a straw poll to see who would support universal pass fail. Just yes if you support it, no if you
don't. No, that's
Gavin, no. I'm sorry.
No, wait, point of information, in parliamentary procedure during emergency meetings, you can only talk about what is on the agenda. And on the agenda is universal pass, not universal pass fail. Therefore,
I'm gonna overrule Gavin. The resolution broadly speaks to grading. And while the resolution does try to make specific to universal pass, I am going to entertain a straw poll for universal pass fail because that is also what the Faculty Senate is considering. I think that's the most fair to gauge people's opinions. So if you do support a universal pass-fail option, you know, straw poll.
Question, is this assuming you have like no other options?
I guess that's a question. Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Basically, it's universal pass-fail or nothing, or like current system. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Risa said that the Faculty Senate is considering a universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory. Thank you so much, Risa. So yeah, go ahead, straw poll that.
So are we straw polling just the resolution as it stands?
No.
This is not the resolution.
This is not at all the resolution.
Universal pass fail now, not universal pass.
Correct.
And you can be in favor of a universal pass fail and also a universal pass. So just, you know, the straw poll might tell us something. It might tell us the current system isn't good, but it doesn't necessarily tell us where we all stand on the resolution.
That's Mariah, just to clarify, by putting no at this point, oh, you put yes, never mind. Anyone that's putting no basically is saying that they prefer the current system to universal pass-fail. That is what a no vote implies. A yes vote implies you prefer universal pass-fail to the current system. That's what this straw poll is gauging, if that, just to clear things up.
Yeah, just I have a quick question.
Yeah.
If we are considering a universal pass and the Faculty Senate is not even entertaining that, I wouldn't want to say, are we wasting our time? Because I think that there's a lot of value in having this conversation. But anyone that can possibly speak to what the Faculty Senate is actually looking at, that we can actually expect being tangibly implemented, I would appreciate that point of information.
The SA has the ability to recommend any changes to the university. We don't, you know, we speak on behalf of the undergraduate student body. Many times what we believe is not, it's what the students believe. And sometimes I don't, my style, and this is different than everyone else's style, my style has been to represent the student's point of view regardless of possibility, because I think, you know, quite literally in advocacy, the possible is what most people consider impossible. But that's just my general theory of change. So if you have some, like, you can decide if this in any way. Yeah.
I think we should just be a little bit realistic. And I think that the best thing that we can do is make sure that we have a policy that has the best possibility of actually getting passed and helping the most people. I think we come out with something that the university will automatically just disregard. We're actually going to do more harm than good, in the sense that the university will just almost silence our voice. So I think, I don't know how we want to go about this. And I think that it shouldn't be one person making the decision. I think that it has to be a collective body decision, and it'll only be so powerful if it's designed that way. But I think that we got to be realistic in making sure that we put something forward that actually has a chance to pass.
I appreciate
thank you for your thoughts. You know, that's your prerogative, you know, and everyone else is entitled to theirs. So the straw poll said that of the people that voted, 15 supported a mandatory satisfactory unsatisfactory, and then 2 did not. So interpret that as you wish in the straw poll. I will continue with the speakers list now. Is this a point from the sponsors? Here, I'm going to need you to go for it.
I didn't get to also respond to the previous thing, because after Natalia got cut off, so am I allowed to respond to that because I'm a co-sponsor?
I have still a substantial number of people on the speakers list, and it's 7:04, and I just want to respect everyone's time. Can I?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Fine.
I'm actually going to make a motion to amend the resolution.
There's been a motion to amend. Thank you. What's
the amendment is going?
Yeah. Can you put it in the chat for everyone to see? Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to talk it out while I'm saying
talk it. Talk it out.
Basically, yeah. Line 50. Be it therefore resolved, the Cornell Student Assembly supports the. It currently says universal pass. Either changing to universal SU or universal pass-fail. My understanding is that universal pass-fail is a little bit more forgiving, in that if you were to get a D or a D-, you would still pass the class. So I think that's obviously we'll want to provide students more leeway. So the amendment is going to be in line 50, change universal pass to universal pass/fail. Did I spell that right?
I think we should say, if we're going to do it, I think we should say universal S/U, because
that's
what the Senate is doing.
Yeah. That is, it's okay. Not a universal pass fail. That would be a
different,
so it's a universal SU system, satisfactory, unsatisfactory system.
Universal. All right, great. So if we could do that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yep, thank you, Natalia, for your reference. SU cuts off a C minus, thanks. So is there a second to this amendment?
Second.
Thank you, Morgan. Morgan seconded. Is there dissent to the amendment? Hearing no dissent to the amendment.
I have a question.
Yes, your question.
I think that more is going to have to be changed on line 50, including like the title, etc.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to allow this amendment to be kind of the intro part, and then there will be a second amendment if this passes to fix the rest of, to like put in line the rest of the resolution to this regard. Sarah, I do see your, is there, yeah? Do you have a point of information or parliamentary procedure, Sarah?
Not entirely sure if this counts as either, but can I say it anyway?
So this vote for the amendment is not accepting the amendment, it's just bringing the amendment to the floor. So there will be discussion on this amendment still, if that would fit your bill better. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and, so there was a second to the amendment to be discussed. So all in favor of this amendment, please vote yes, no, and know that when we move into discussion on the amendment, it will be a new speakers list, not the old speakers list. So SA members, SA voting members only are allowed to vote in this, even if you are a co-sponsor, thank you. So please, I'll give you till 7:08, so a minute. Please lock in your votes, and by 7:08, have your vote in.
And to clarify, this vote is not to amend the resolution. This is a vote simply to consider the amendment. Is that correct?
To consider the amendment, that is correct. So it is 7:08, and the current vote to consider the amendment is 18 to 4 to 1, and I did not receive any abstentions in the chat. So 18 to 4 to 1, we will be considering this amendment. So we'll be moving into a speaker's list to discuss said amendment. This amendment, I guess, is talking about pushing this resolution to a universal satisfactory unsatisfactory. So if everyone can raise your hand if you want to continue to be part of the discussion. And I'll go from there. So I have Alexandria who's going to talk. Alexandria, you're free to go. Alexandria, you're on mute. Sorry. Here I am. I unmuted you. You're good. Go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to expand on a point that Sarah Song made. And what she talked, but I was just wondering why she was like cut off at the end, because I definitely want to expand on that.
So Sarah offered a point of information. A point of information is on, you know, a topic. It's typically a question. Sarah's, you know, was more so an advocacy-based point, which we understand parliamentary procedure is quite difficult to follow, and it's okay. Debbie informed me. I can't, Sarah. I'm so sorry. I want to give equitable time to everyone speaking, just because, you know, people have been on the speaker's list. But yeah, a point of information is not necessarily an opportunity to speak on behalf of a point of advocacy. It's an opportunity to ask a question about what is happening. So yes, and Debbie, my parliamentarian, informed me during that it was not a point of information, and I listened to the parliamentarian on advice such as that. Thank you.
Okay, but can I just still share my opinion?
Yeah, you can share your opinion.
Okay. I see. Well, I definitely agree with Liel Sterling and the other student that spoke, sorry if I don't remember your name, regarding that Yeah, generally there's students advocating for the Big Red Pass who mostly care about the health status of their family members or themselves, and that it kind of seems like the students of Big Red Choice are just focusing on their grades. And personally, I find myself in a situation where both are really important to me. So like, for example, my mother works at a hospital and she's exposing herself to COVID-19 every day. My brother has a brain infection and has to be working in a hospital too. And I kind of put myself in exposure also with being in contact with them every single day. But at the same time, I think definitely as a first generation student, as a student with full aid, definitely my grades are really important. And they're not just for entry into grad school, but I think it's definitely important for me to attain certain scholarships that I need. And historically, usually the criteria in order to attain a scholarship at a law school, for example, are pretty objective depending on the student's GPA and their LSAT score. In addition, not only am I just focusing on the scholarship aspect or my ability to get into grad school, but I think that currently I'm taking a neurobiology class in order to qualify for a patent bar exam that I was planning to take when I would graduate Cornell. And by not receiving that grade during the semester, I would have to spend thousands of dollars on tuition just to get a grade in that science course. And like, as a student that receives full aid, I would feel like my career would have to be on hold because of the fact that it would just be universal that I would have to get an SU. And I kind of agree with Ahmed, for example, that with the military student that had a sub 3.0 GPA and was depending on the semester to get his GPA up, I definitely think that grad schools will be kind of understanding, especially in the situation if he's not in the situation to get grades. But I don't think that's a reason for making it universal to get SUs. I'm pretty sure that grad schools aren't going to discriminate between a student that gets good grades a semester and wasn't affected by the pandemic versus a student that gets an SU because they were affected by the pandemic. But I think it's really important when you're talking about students that are marginalized to also think about the financial aspects that this decision has on their futures.
Thank you so much.
Information.
Yeah, who said that? Masa? Yeah, go for it.
We're discussing the amendment right now, not the resolution, right?
The amendment, yeah, we are discussing the amendment. So if people can keep, you know, I understand. It's a kind of a free-willing topic because it's caught of the overall grading. So I understand people will drift in their comments, you know. But if people can focus, you know, their comments on whether or not the resolution should be amended for a universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory option, that would be, in opposed to the universal pass-fail option, that would be helpful to focus the discussion. It's no worries on if people do veer, because I understand that, you know, everyone does. Masa, you are next on the speakers list, though, if you want to speak.
Oh, I was just going to speak. I was just going to say that I think if we go for a universal pass option, even if the faculty senate is not considering it, they see like a strong push from the students for a universal pass that would incentivize them more to consider universal SU rather than the other option, if that makes sense.
Yep. Thank you so much. Brian, you are next on the speakers list and also the sponsor of the amendment. So go for it.
Yeah, thanks, definitely.
Yep.
I think based on, you know, there's a reason I did the straw poll. We got pretty, you know, clear results that there is broad support for a universal SU among members of the assembly. I think from conversations with other members of the assembly that there is less broad support for universal pass. I think we will look better. I think we have a much better chance of succeeding with helping out students if the vote shows that the student assembly is together on something, or as together as we can be. And I worry that with universal pass, which personally I would not be supporting, and I know other members would not be supporting as well, there would be less of a unified front from which we can approach this issue. So I hope that by passing this amendment, we can put together, we can really put out a resolution, put it up to vote for something that a larger majority of SA members can support and vote for, and we can get passed, and then we can hopefully bring this to change. I just don't see that happening with the universal pass way that the resolution currently is.
Thank you.
And that's just a reality. Yeah.
Yeah. I have two more people on the speakers list. Natalia, you're first.
Hi, I just wanted to quickly hop on here and ask folks, I guess, kind of generally, like, what is it that we need to pass right now?
And then,
what's happening?
Continue. Some people, you know.
Okay. Cool. Are, yeah.
Please mute yourself if you're not discussing.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to hop on here and ask real quick, like, what is it that we need to address as the sponsors of this resolution to get everybody on board with this resolution? So cool. Like, we're going to change it to SU. Great. Glad we're on the same page as the faculty now. But like, what is it? If it's grad schools, like, we have reached out to grad schools. We have genuine support from grad schools in terms of doing this. Our peer institutions have already adopted this. There's pretty, I think as of last night, we might have gotten 2,000 people. I'm not 100% sure. Don't quote me on that. Maybe we're still at like 1,900, close enough. But my question is, like, what are the real concerns that we have right now so we can just address those? Because if not, we're just going to be here indefinitely sharing opinions back and forth.
Thank you, Natalia. I have Uche next.
Hey, everyone. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I just first want to say that I think it's really, quite honestly, disrespectful and disgusting at the fact that people from who are in support of Big Red Pass have sent in their stories talking about some of the major struggles that they're having. There are people who are, again, as other people have said, they have family members who are dying or who have died, or family members who have been laid off. There are people who have gone home and now their lives have been completely uprooted, and they have to completely change the way that they move about things, the way that they move with their schedule, who they're having to take care of, like a whole bunch of external factors that they did not ask for, but they're here now. We're in a global pandemic right now. And I don't understand why throughout this whole entire discussion, it seems that people have a problem with protecting the most marginalized voices here. I don't understand how, like, there may be a student who is going home who has no time, who has to work now, who has to pick up a job to support their family, who probably will not have any kind of time to really focus on school as it currently stands right now. And I don't really understand how people are okay with the fact that, like, you know, with a SU option, there are going to be students who will inevitably have to choose between their schoolwork and their family, their home life, things that are directly affecting them. And I don't understand how some of y'all are okay with, like, students failing because of things that are out of their control. And I think a lot of you guys are moving in a mindset of, you know, supporting other movements such as, like, Big Red Choice, because you have not been personally affected by, like, or actually really understand what it's like when, you know, you have a family member who's on the front lines fighting this, or who has been infected, or you're a student who's been, like, completely impacted by this entire pandemic. So, yeah.
Thank you.
The point of information, can we do a straw poll for the universal pass instead of just universal pass fail?
In comparison to nothing?
Yeah, in comparison to nothing.
Yep, we can do that. So SA members, voting members only, yes, no, a universal pass option versus nothing. Oh, the votes got lost. Please vote. Thanks. I don't know what happened. Who did that? Please don't do that again. It makes my job very hard. Whoever's on the go slower, that's not the abstain. And it's a straw poll, so no abstaining, please. So it appeals 11 are in favor of a universal pass and 11 are against a universal pass option. It's 10-10 each. It's fluctuating, but it's split, essentially 11-11. Stop doing it. It's making me confused. So I will continue. Oh, we lost the speakers list too for the amendment. So if you want to continue to be on the speakers list for the amendment, raise your hand again. I know Sarah's son was on the top of that, just from my memory. So I will let her speak on the amendment. So Sarah, go for it.
Hi, I apologize. First, like, apologies for the confusion around parliamentary procedure.
No worries.
Secondly, okay, thank you. I guess secondly, in terms of discussing, I guess, like, Natalia's question of what's holding us back from passing this resolution, I think that there is an, I think, like, both sides want to, this is just from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that both sides have a desire to protect students that are most vulnerable. But the issue that I'm seeing here is that the Big Red Pass isn't acknowledging a really important side of, like, the FGLI narrative, which is that the students who are oftentimes most in need of a GPA boost are those who come from, like, difficult backgrounds or who have had to overcome really hard personal circumstances or were less academically prepared coming into college. And, like, because they are capable but just, like, haven't had the track record to prove them, if, like, they don't have this semester to raise that GPA, then, like, everything that may be before that may not be like strong enough evidence to a graduate program to, like, admit them into the program. And I guess like another thing too is that I would be in support of this resolution were it not for the fact that there are so many students on this campus who are in support of Big Red Choice. And because this resolution is voicing, like, is supposed to be voicing the student voice, I feel like making this solely about Big Red Pass kind of does a disservice to the purpose of why we're here talking about in the first place. So I think it's really important that we add, like, the other options, like the other grading options to this discussion. So, for example, one that after talking to my constituents that was really popular was option 3 on the Faculty Senate website, which was the opt-in out after final grades are posted. And I would just like to have a discussion about these other options. Another one that was popular was allowing for the uncovering of final grades. And if we can just send the dialogue, then I feel like I would be a lot more comfortable voting in favor of, kind of like voting on this, like, actually making sort of progress with that. So I just, yeah. So in summary, I just want to make sure that, like, all sides of the student voice are being heard before we make a decision to act on behalf of the entire student body.
Yeah, I'm going to respond to that as one of the co-sponsors. I think that to say, you know, that first-gen low-income students are usually the ones who are struggling the most is actually quite insulting as a first-gen low-income student.
I apologize. That was definitely not what I meant. I'm also a low-income student, so I'm very sorry. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, and I think that there are struggles that come with being first-gen low-income, but yeah, I would hate for the narrative to be that, like, we struggle the most and so we need to have this option, especially since, like, almost everyone I know who supports Big Red Pass is, like, first-gen low-income, in some capacity, a marginalized student on this campus. And so I do, like, caution, and obviously I don't want to speak for the whole community. I'm only one first-gen low-income student myself, but I do urge caution when talking about groups that people don't belong to, about how those people feel. And then furthermore, I guess to your point, and kind of like other people have mentioned this too, and I've mentioned this earlier, that, like, I think that we have to think about the fact that this is larger than just ourselves. There are 15,000 undergraduate students on our campus. And even though, like, individually people might feel one way or another about their personal situation, they, like, the benefit of the Cornell community and the greater good and those most marginalized specifically in this situation like should be addressed. Like, for example, I'm first gen low income, but I personally don't have home issues. I personally am doing fine at home, and like I will be able to succeed in my classes like with them being graded. Like, I don't need pass fail, but I acknowledge that there are other first gen low income students who like that isn't the case. And so I think that it's important to, and not even just first gen low income students, there are just students in general who that's not the case for them, right? And so it's important to think about not just like what we ourselves like benefit, but also like what benefits the greater Cornell community. And I think that, you know, this is an opinion based thing, but I think that, you know, your conscience like should direct you and where you should go. And you know, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, like that is something to think about. Like, am I doing what's right for everyone, or am I just self-interested and only caring about like what benefits myself and only myself?
I just to also follow up with what you had to say, Mariah. Oh, and then yes.
I have four minutes left on the timed meeting.
Oh, you know, actually, I move that we extend the meeting.
By how long?
15.
30 minutes.
15 minutes. 30 minutes. Okay. So 15? there's been a motion to extend for 30 minutes. So the meeting is extended to 8 p.m. Is there a second to that motion?
Tomas seconds it.
There's been a second. All in favor, please click yes or no and little buttons and stuff like that. It's a majority vote.
Point of information.
Yeah.
If I leave because it's 3 a.m. here, can I proxy vote?
You can proxy vote to someone else, or you can send a quick email to the parliamentarian and myself about your general voting. But I would prefer you send it to someone else. So by a vote of 17-2-1, we will be extending the meeting until 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gavin, you can continue.
Yeah, just to extend on Mariah's point, I think it's important to remember to look past self, right? I think you start at yourself, right? So starting at myself, just anecdotal evidence, right? Both my parents are pushing 60 and they're immunocompromised. There are four of us in the house. I'm doing all the chores. I'm the one going outside the house, right? And that's just where I am at. I'm not first gen and I'm not low income. It's important to remember, like, people are at not only at a situation where you are at, but and in a situation that is worse, right? Grades should be in the back burner, not like past the back burner, not even in our mind, right? We have other things to be doing. And then I also think it's important to remember the student support. Every student assembly member, go to your inbox right now. I guarantee you, you have maybe 5 to 10 emails from students saying, this is what we need, right? And let's ask ourselves, how often do our constituents reach out to us, right? How often? This goes past then to onto Natalia's point of 2,000 students have signed onto this, and we have 15,000 on our undergrad. That means in the matter of days, because it has been days, about 13% of the undergrad student population has said that we need this, right? We don't have that turnout sometimes in like elections, right? I mean, just we need to like reorient ourselves onto our constituents rather ourselves.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
Thanks. Okay, I think we are in agreement, and I just wish that you could contend with like the other parts of what I'm saying, because we definitely agree that this issue is far beyond ourselves. And I guess that's the point I was trying to make, is that the constituents that I've reached out to, they have frequently vocalized how the Big Red Pass movement seems to be weaponizing the stories of few students who are going through very legitimate and very difficult circumstances, and using that to kind of serve as an umbrella for all people who fall under the FGLI, who like, I guess identity. And like, because that's something that my students have, that my constituents have reached out to me about, I felt like it was really important to kind of bring up the fact that like, if we're gonna make this a issue of like the most vulnerable, then we have to really be considering everybody's perspective. And if you're going to say, and I guess like everything that you just said to me, I could say the exact same thing to you too, because there are so many people who don't feel fully represented by like either side. Like the debate that we have going on has created this kind of like false dichotomy, and I think it's important that we dig more into like the nuance of this resolution and find other solutions that are going to be most beneficial to the student body as a whole.
Thank you. I'm gonna let Ahmed respond, and then I'm going to continue with the speakers list. Reminder that we are still in the amendment that Brian proposed, and at some point we will need to call a vote on that, but I do want people to who are on the speakers list to have the ability to respond and speak to the amendment. So I'll let Ahmed, and then I'll go to Masa if she still wants to be on the speakers list. So Ahmed.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So a few responses to Sarah. So the first thing on weaponizing the identity, I think it's important to realize that we're not weaponizing people's identities. We're sharing stories that we've received and people have asked us to share on their behalf. But secondly, I think it's important to realize that the counter movement or Big Red Choice has also weaponized other identities. I don't think it's a weaponization of identities, but rather the sharing of experiences and what those experiences want us to tell. Secondly, you had a concern about dialogue that a lot of people on campus may support an alternative policy instead of universal pass, but we've already had like 5 or 6 people share to us the opportunity to maybe support Big Red Choice, and we've discussed those, and we've said why we think it has to be universal, it can't be opt-in. And I think the more important kind of response to your point is that I think we need to worry about or recognize the idea that we both care about marginalized groups and marginalized people. But I think we tend to use a blanket statement to paint them all under one umbrella. I think it's important to realize that marginalization is nuanced, that it exists in degrees, that two people can be marginalized, but one is significantly more marginalized than the other. And I think to Liel's point, which didn't really get much attention, that the ability to worry about grades is in of itself a luxury. The ability to not have to worry about whether or not you will pay for your sister's funeral, which is a real story we've gotten, is something that matters, is something that a lot of people are dealing with and that other marginalized people are not. So I think when we're talking about marginalization, we have to look at it from the lowest end of the spectrum, what the most marginalized person needs. Then I think a number of responses is that, what about upward mobility? That maybe we need to give these individuals a chance to like rise up. The first 2 years at Cornell wasn't enough for them to boost their GPA. But I think you have to ask yourself, if it's true that these individuals are marginalized and oppressed, they don't have the tools that they otherwise would to succeed at Cornell. Not because they're not capable, but because they don't have the library that Cornell would provide them, Wi-Fi that they don't have back at home, a safe space from toxic and abusive households that Cornell provided an escape from, recreational services, nutritional food at dining halls that don't exist in food deserts that students now go back to. Like, I think all of the ideas, I think the kind of premise underneath the argument about upward mobility.
Off to you.
Keep going.
I think the premise underlying upward mobility depends upon these individuals having the tools to be upwardly mobile. And with everybody back home in their original environments, they don't have those tools that your argument kind of relies on. And I think that's something we need to recognize. And we don't need to just care about each marginalized person individually, but rather as a collective. I think it's important to recognize our empathy collectively as opposed to individually.
Thank you. Moving on to Masa on the speaker's list.
Hi. Okay, so I just want to read Colin's point because I don't know if everyone saw it in the chat. So, and I asked him, he told me that I could go for it. I just want to add to Tomas's point, lives are in danger here. We are facing a global pandemic, and the students who are affected the most from this are probably not worrying about graduate school admissions and their GPAs. They're worrying about finances, family members, and the list of other things that take precedence in the current moment over academics. We have an opportunity to help those students by implementing the universal pass system. Any action that the members of this assembly takes besides voting yes for this resolution would be incredibly selfish, inherently coming from a place of privilege during this time. We have an opportunity to help the vulnerable members of the Cornell community here. We should be taking it. Thanks.
Thank you. I have Sarah Sun.
Okay, so it seems like the purpose of this emergency meeting is to kind of voice where the student body is at to the Faculty Senate before they go in to their meeting tomorrow and vote on what's at stake. And I think, like, I don't think we're necessarily here to debate the merits of each option as we are to make sure that like every voice is heard. So I guess to, as a solution to this, like, would it be a possibility to like maybe have two meetings? So one is like, you know, we're voting on like support of like universal pass to show that like, yo, like this is a legitimate option that a huge part of the student body supports, and then have a separate meeting like to, you know, vote on like a big red choice resolution so that the people who, you know, feel very strongly that way are also supported. Because if the student assembly only, you know, submits one resolution representing like the student body, then like what happens to that entire other half of the student body? So like if we just make sure that like both voices are heard, like then I think we could like detangle the issues, because it also seems like right now we're debating a lot on like the merits of universal pass, where I think that's not the purpose of this meeting.
Just as a point of parliamentary like essay, student assembly shared governance process, how this works is that when we pass a resolution, I convey it to the president and she decides what to do with it, depending on what it is. I've never been in a situation in which the student assembly has passed resolutions that counteracted each other or presented a duality and argument from the undergraduate student body. When we convey such resolutions, we convey resolutions in totality. So that includes the vote total. Very rarely do resolutions that we convey have a contentious vote total. If it is, that is part of the consideration, but ultimately in this system, a majority vote wins. That is how, you know, our process works. You know, anyone is allowed to introduce any resolution that they want. Anyone is allowed to do, you know, every representative has that ability. But I would caution this assembly to pass multiple resolutions that provide mixed signals to administration, because I don't think that necessarily strengthens any argument. I think we have these meetings so that people are heard in these meetings as much as possible, which is why extending the meeting is very important, which is why, you know, doing as much as possible is so important to be doing. So everyone's entitled to do what they want to do. I've never seen situations happen like this in my life, in my time on the assembly. So just want to put that out there.
Can I motion to vote on the amendment, please?
I second the motion.
Okay, there's been a motion to vote. There's been a second on the amendment. Is there any dissent to going into voting on the amendment? Reminder, the amendment is to change line 50 in the resolution from a universal pass to a universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory option. Is there a dissent to voting on this amendment? Hearing no dissent. Hearing no dissent, I will give the SA voting members till 7:39 to lock in their votes on this amendment. Please vote in the participants chat if you are a SA voting member only. Kat will patrol the kind of participants chat to make sure that everything is okay.
May someone please reiterate the exact amendment that we're voting on? My apologies, my computer.
The amendment is changing line 50 of the resolution from universal pass to universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory.
Thank you.
Debbie, what is your point of inquiry?
I just want to ask that, like, the SU that's currently being, like, voted on is like an A to a C minus, and it doesn't consider deranged grades that are technically passing.
That is correct. That is correct. An unsatisfactory option is anything below, satisfactory is C minus and above. So anything in a D range is considered an unsatisfactory.
Okay.
Is there something we could do with, you know, talking to Faculty Senate of actually getting it, you know, once this, if the amendment passes, if the resolution passes, is there something we could do to try to get it so D's would be included as satisfactory or as pass or whatever it is? Is that something we could do? That way we do expand the opportunity for students to still pass the course?
That would be it could be a separate resolution, or it could be amendment to add in resolved clause within this resolution. Obviously anything's a possibility. So yeah, that is a possibility to do that. So that's something that people can do for an additional amendment or a separate resolution. So all votes have been cast. The final vote is 17-4-1. The amendment that Brian proposed is accepted into the resolution.
That we vote on the resolution.
Before we vote on the resolution, I'm requesting that all other aspects of the resolution that refer to universal pass be changed over to the universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory option. If
so moved.
So this is just going to be an amendment that allows. So is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we'll move into discussion on the amendment. Is there
motion
discussion?
To vote.
There's been a motion to vote on said amendment.
Second.
There's been a second. Is there any dissent on the amendment?
Dissent.
There's dissent to vote on the amendment. Can you please state your dissent, Sarah?
I think there are still points of discussion that should be heard in order to get like the best amendment we can, because like even though we can't send options, I think there's a way to include the support of other options in the Big Red Pass bill. So to perhaps like we as a student assembly think that like yes, but like universal passes are a first option, but also like we support these other options, like in order to just make sure that we're voicing like the concerns of the student body. And if that could be included in the amendment, I think that would be great.
So that would be its separate amendment, not necessarily involved in this amendment. This amendment is an amendment to, look at the full resolution and change anything that referred to universal pass as universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory. After the vote, you're welcome to make that second amendment, but I'll accept your dissent unless you want to withdraw your dissent.
I withdraw my dissent, sorry.
Okay, thank you. So all in favor of voting on the amendment to change any other place that referred to universal pass to universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory, please go on the clicker. I'll give you till 7:43. Kat, just make sure only SA voting members are voting.
Gotcha.
Okay, by a vote of 19-2-1, any other place in the resolution that mentioned universal pass will also be changed to universal satisfactory, unsatisfactory. We'll be moving into the rest of this extensive speakers list on the full resolution. So if people want to make amendments, et cetera, et cetera. Natalia, you are next on the speakers list.
My point was like a little bit a while ago, so I won't take a lot of time, but I wanted to quickly say that like FLY students, when I say FLY, I mean like first gen low income students, are used to a semester not really accurately reflecting like our academic abilities just for a variety of different reasons that don't even have to do with a global pandemic. And I think it's just like the one thing that I really want to come across that really like puts this into perspective for me. We're never at a level playing field when we're on campus. So how are we expected to be at the same level playing field when we're all literally spread across the world, across the country? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
But yeah, and the reason why time is of the essence here, and I hope that people can kind of like understand, the Faculty Senate is voting tomorrow. It would be ideal to have this resolution passed today so like that they understand where students' heads are at. But yeah, that's just my quick point.
Next on the speaker's list, I have Tomas. Who said something?
Oh, I'm motioning to amend the resolution to include, actually, let me find the line number, but basically to include that D's are part of the S.
Okay. Can you put that in the, thank you. Can you put that in the chat, please, Mariah? Like a specific set of language?
Yeah, I think I'll put it in 151.
Yeah, just drop that in the chat.
And just out of curiosity, would we need to make the distinction that this change to include D's in a satisfactory grade will only last until the conclusion of this semester?
That is dependent on what the student assembly feels. So if you know, I guess that's a question for Mariah on how she wants to interpret her amendment.
Yeah, this would just be for this semester, I think. Because I don't really see, like, this resolution itself isn't really going to set a precedent for like forever. I don't think that's what the purpose of this resolution is. I think it's more for like this specific time. At least that's my thought. I don't know if any of the other sponsors want to say anything, but I don't see, my intent is not to have this be like a forever change of the pass-fail system as we know it, or the SU system as we know it.
No, yeah, because this is a semesterly resolution, we think it should only apply to this semester.
And I mean, we might have to revisit this in the fall because we might not be on campus in the fall, depending on how this all shakes out. But for now, this is just going to be for this semester.
So I'll let you continue putting that into the chat, Mariah, and then we will continue with the discussion. So Mariah has put that in the chat. Is there a second to her amendment?
Second.
There's been a second. Any dissent to discussing Mariah's amendment? Seeing no dissent to discussion on the amendment, we'll move into discussion on the amendment.
I move that we vote.
There's been a motion to vote on the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
You can't second your own motion. Jacob, is that a second?
Second.
Okay, there's
been a second.
Also seconded. Is there any dissent to voting on the amendment?
Dissent, because there's an amendment to the amendment. I forgot to
it goes put D minus, yeah.
Yeah, instead of D.
Okay, that's fine. We don't have to dissent to that. We can just assume.
Thank you.
Typo error, whatever. Yeah. So it's an A plus through a D minus would be a satisfactory, and a unsatisfactory would represent an F. So we'll move into voting on the amendment. I'll give the assembly till 7:49 to lock in their votes. Please lock in your votes. I feel like a game show host saying that, like Deal or No Deal or something like that. Is it only, Kat, is it only SA members voting that you can see?
Yep, we got everyone, and it should
be. Okay, fantastic. By a vote of 21 to 1, this amendment has been accepted into the resolution. We'll be moving back into the speaker's list overall on this resolution. Next on the speaker's list, I have Ben Letterman. Ben, you can go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, so I'm a freshman at Cornell. I just wanted to give a new point to Big Red Choice. I want to say that I support it, but I also want to say that since this resolution is giving a message on behalf of the student body, I just want to reflect what I've seen from both campaigns, but particularly if we're putting out a message for support for a universal SU system, I just want to say that we need to be cautious about the words that we're using, because a lot of times what I've been hearing, and I'm sure it's not the opinion of everyone, but I've seen certain people using words for people that support Big Red Choice, like terms such as elitist or things. And I know in the discussion that people have been saying that people are only caring about grades. And I just want people to be aware that there's multiple perspectives. And since there's such a broad range of circumstances, that when we submit such a resolution to the president and to other members that are voting on the resolution, that we're careful with the words that we use and that we're reflective of everyone's views. So I just wanted to bring that forward. And since I know that a lot of support for Big Red Choice has already been presented by other members.
Can I respond as a sponsor?
Yeah.
So I don't think that our intent was to, like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think that when terms like elitist are being used, I think we're saying that it takes a certain amount of privilege to be in a position where you get to care about your grades, as many people in this situation literally cannot even, like, begin to think about grades with everything that's happening. And so I guess in that sense, like, that's what we're referring to as elitism, of, like, there are people who, like, don't have that, like, yeah, they just literally don't have the privilege to, like, even care about their grades. And I do understand that, like, Big Red Choice isn't all about caring about grades, and it's about, like, you know, providing flexibility and what have you. But I think that, like, even having that flexibility is a privilege in a time like this.
Thank you. I'm going to let Tomas go. I totally skipped over him, and, you know, the lowering hand, the Zoom call, it's all new to me. So Tomas, go for it.
Wow, the disrespect.
I said I apologize.
So first, I'm going to echo what Natalia said about it never being a level playing field for first-gen low-income students on this campus. I think those of you who know me know I work 3 jobs during the school year, which is stressful. So again, it's never a level playing field. But now I have none of those jobs. So now I have no income, which makes, you know, the level playing field even less level. A surgery that I was supposed to have, because I'm trans, I was supposed to have top surgery next month, probably not going to happen now because of this. So it's not just first gen, like, low income. Like, I'm not just affected as a first gen low income student, I'm affected as a trans student. So, like, yes, 100% first gen low income students are affected in ways that other students are not. But I think we also have to remember that, like, not just first gen low income students are being affected by this. Queer students are being affected by this. I know so many trans students on this campus who are no longer having surgeries that were scheduled for the next 2 months because they can't anymore because of this. And, like, what that does to a trans person's mental health is insane. So that's one thing. Plenty of you haven't been affected yet. I say yet. And, like, to be as honest as possible, like, there are figures that, like, 50% to 60% of the United States population will be affected by this disease. Right? Like, just being realistic, half the people in this conversation right now will be affected by this in some way. And so, like, yeah, you can say that right now you're in a position to grade boost, but guess what? In 3 weeks, you might not be. And so suddenly it actually does affect you, and you were too busy worried about yourself, which I will say that, and I don't have any regret calling you elitist or selfish, because you were worried about yourself in this moment. And I do question people who are pre-med and pre-law and say they want to go into these public service fields, but are more concerned about themselves and their grades than their fellow students. And I urge you, especially if you're pre-med, to think about that. Because if you can't think about what matters for other people, even when it doesn't help you, then I think you need to reflect on your values. Because guess what? I wanted a grade boost this semester too, and it would have been real great. Would have gotten straight A's this semester. It's not just about me, and it's not just about you, and it's not just about your one specific situation. It's about, if you get an A this semester, it's at the expense of someone who didn't have access to a computer. It's at the expense of someone who had to work a job. It's at the expense of someone who had to take care of their little sibling. So your success this semester is at the expense of someone else's failure. And I think that's the difference between optional and universal pass-fail, is that, yeah, you can choose to get your grade, but especially in classes with curves, you're getting an A because that other person didn't have time to study the way you did, or didn't have the time to put into that assignment that you did. So I wonder if you want your success to come at that price. And again, I do urge you to reflect, and otherwise take care, y'all. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. We're going to keep with the speakers list.
No, it really, is, thank you. Thank you.
It is 7:54. We extended the meeting until 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just a reminder. So we do, now it's 7:55, so we only have 5 more minutes. If there were any other amendments that wanted to be added, please, you know, make that amendment as soon as possible. You know, I want to get a vote on the resolution, hopefully by 8 p.m. However, if we do need a motion to extend, we will motion to extend whatever is needed to make sure people are heard. I'm so sorry. I'm going to butcher this again. I didn't learn from the first time. Fengui, oh, dang. I already know it's wrong.
No, that's totally fine. Thank you. All right. So just to better educate myself and provide, I guess, everyone with more perspectives, how is the university doing to help equalize people's access to internet and learning resources and everything that is material?
Yeah, I can respond as a sponsor. So there's the Access Fund that has been like very beneficial in providing students with like computers, et cetera. I think that the point we were trying to make to that though was that like there's a lot more that goes into like having a good educational experience at home than just having a computer or Wi-Fi. And so like, do you even have a quiet place to do your work? Like regardless of whether or not you have a computer or Wi-Fi, like you might not be still not be able to study. I think that was our point. But yeah, the Access Fund is that resource I think that you're kind of referring to, or like that's the main resource.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. So besides Access Fund, is there a possibility to add something to the amendments to ask for a larger source of funds from a university to help equalize everything that is material to equalize the playing field?
So I can respond to that. In really broad scope. So I appreciate one, Mariah, for bringing up the Access Fund. That is, that's an area the Student Assembly has been focusing on with our byline organizations to really get out there and make sure that there are funds available for everything like that. So first and foremost, the Access Fund is, you know, being more lenient in what it does. So laptops and so much is available in the SA. In partnership with organizations such as Senior Days, Alana, SAFC, have raised over $276,000 for that. So there have been funds going into that fund. In addition, in university communications, there's been several other, I do see your message. You are next on the speakers list. So after I go, I will acknowledge you so you can speak, Nikki. And so the University and Civil Communications has, you know, said, you know, if you need access to high-speed internet, Wi-Fi Spectrum is providing that to students. You know, the university is constantly pushing out resources for students. So I will say, please look at those emails. In addition, if students are struggling with different connectivity issues or any other issues, please be emailing and be in contact with your professors. The Faculty Senate is considering a resolution to amend the academic code, the code of academic integrity, that allows people to, you know, that tells both students and professors to be lenient on each other, to understand that we're in different situations at different times, you know. And so there, it's a broad scope, and, you know, we can provide as many resources as possible, and we can be bolstering the Access Fund as much as possible. And if students are experiencing issues, like, please reach out as soon as possible. Those issues might be identified. Obviously, we can't get everything into once. And I recognize that. So yeah, I will turn
motion
it back.
To vote.
I want to let, there are three people, there are a couple people on the speakers list that I really just want them to be able to say their thoughts, especially the community members. Gavin, you withdraw that motion.
I think the issue is like, I'm getting texts from multiple SA members saying like, I have to leave. So I think that we're just going to be losing.
And SA members are allowed to proxy vote. But I want to prioritize community members who have sat on this call for quite a long time. And so I appreciate those SA members, but I also appreciate the community members a lot too. Sorry. So you can keep your motion.
Okay. I don't withdraw. That's all.
Okay. There has been a second. Is there any dissent to voting? Is there any dissent to the motion to vote?
Dissent.
Okay. There has been dissent. State your dissent.
I've just been waiting to speak for like 30 minutes. So I really like to speak.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we'll be moving into a vote to vote. All in favor of moving into the voting procedure, please click yes. If you don't, please click no. Debbie, please do the math for me on the vote to vote.
Joe, it's 15.
Thank you. I'm going to extend the meeting by 5 minutes, just to 8:05, and I want a final vote at 8:05. The vote right now is 8-13-1, so this fails. We will not be moving into voting. Nikki, you've been waiting patiently. You are allowed. You're recognized. Go for it.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. So, I just wanted to recognize that there are also for the I'm in favor of the universal pass-fail, and for the Big Red Choice, there are students who are being recognized who need the semester to boost their GPAs, but for the universal pass-fail, there are also students who have worked very hard in previous semesters to get where they currently are at, and if they take SU without it being universal, it will harm their chances at graduate school. Also, I think that the grades this semester will not accurately reflect relative performance. Instead, they will be significantly influenced by the diversity of different situations people have been thrown into. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Saray, you are allowed to speak. Go for it.
Hi, it's Sarah. So I want to just make a quick statement on behalf of the Big Red Choice. So we, as a campaign, we empathize with everyone's story. Everyone is important. We acknowledge that entirely. Nobody can be dismissed for the situations they are facing, how difficult they are. We completely understand. However, the thing that we should stop to question is the universality of universal SU. Does it really work for everybody? Or is it right to equalize one group of students at the expense of another? Because even if we do that, some students will still slip through the cracks. Cornell students should have the ability to make their own decisions as it relates to their own academic and career choices. Especially during this pandemic where there's so much uncertainty going around. Nobody knows what's going to happen the next day, the next week, the next few months. So allowing more flexibility would make more sense to implement rather than a one-size-fits-all policy that might not work for everybody.
Thank you. Morgan Baker.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Oh, goodness. 1 second. There we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Cool. So I just wanted to say that I'm in favor of a universal SU, and I'm sure most of us are in favor of passing something along these lines. But with SU, I like the opportunity for students to uncover the grades that they choose, which is already being done at Duke, so we know it's possible. But like, even if we were going to go along with this, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, the majority of the administration, as well as Provost Kotlikoff himself, who is the ultimate decision maker on this issue, don't approve of either. And in addition to this, the students are largely torn on the issue as well. And today I did an Insta poll, and out of 200 Cornell students who responded, Big Red Pass did come out on top, though it was surprisingly very slim margins because it was 51-49. And in addition to this, this decision just really isn't in our jurisdiction. Like, the most we can do is compromise and come together to champion, which I think is a more pragmatic option, Big Red Choice, option 3. Like, it's undoubtedly an improvement to what the university has already proposed as its own accommodation to students' situations. But if we don't compromise, then in the end, like, we may end up with nothing because, as I previously mentioned, Provost Kotlikoff, unfortunately, isn't on our side.
So this is within our jurisdiction. Just as a point of information, this deals with the undergraduate student body and the interests of the undergraduate student body. And we are a recommendation-based body of shared governance, and we are allowed to state the concerns. No one has, you know, the Faculty Senate will provide, you know, its input. We will provide our input. You know, we don't know how Vice Provost of Undergraduate Education, Lisa Nishi, is going to, we don't know how those individuals are taking this currently, you know. It is our goal as the Student Assembly to represent the undergraduate student voice, and this is within our jurisdiction. We've always been able to make recommendations based off of grades. So I want to make sure that that's not, you know, it's clear, like, we, a jurisdiction is a very nebulous term when it comes to shared governance, because shared governance is sharing and making recommendations and sharing on the opinion, not shared decision making. And I think that's really important to be noticed. And the last person I have on the speakers list is Celine. So Celine, you'll end us out.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I just wanted to, first thank you all you guys for having this discussion. I know it's been pretty long, and for me, I wanted to mention that I am fully aware of a lot of things we discussed before about how life really matters a lot than the grades and everything else, and how we should really consider people who are less advantaged. So I personally support an alternative, which is uncovering the grades with universal pass and fail, or was universal pass, because however, as we have already made the amendment for universal pass and fail, I think one of the concerns people are saying for universal pass and fail is that if we do not do that, some people cannot apply for graduate school because some school only accept for universal pass and fail. So I want to emphasize that universal pass and fail with an opportunity for uncovering is universal pass and fail. So I just checked Duke's announcement for that. They're saying that there's still all the courses, they're satisfactory, unsatisfactory. But there is an opportunity for students to uncovering their grades with a special partition and filling out a survey. So I just want to discuss this possibility for make a small amendment for increasing, we should like include that there is an opportunity for uncovering the grades by partition for students who have like specific situation. I just wanted to point out very fast that for freshmen, because I'm the freshman rep at Student Assembly, for freshmen, especially for spring and mid, they came to Cornell, this is their first semester, they do not have a GPA at this point. And a lot of freshman diversity programs, you know, there's a different program for software engineer, finance, there's a lot of programs, they require you to have a GPA. I heard a lot of complaints from my friends from spring and mid, they do not have a GPA, so they cannot, you know, they cannot apply for all the diversity programs, especially for a lot of them, they are, especially their less advantaged in industry, like finance, like software engineering, for instance, like for female. So they want to use this diversity program as opportunity to get in those industries. So they need a GPA at this point. And for students who are fond of meets, a lot of them found hard for adjusting to Cornell for the first semester. So they're also trying very hard for the second semester for that opportunity, you know? So I feel like it's kind of unfair for freshmen at this point. And it's kind of, in the long run, a lot of people will not get the opportunity to some like diversity programs and, you know, have different career options. Yeah, so in short, I just agree with having uncovering your grades option with universal pass and fail. Thank you.
It is 8:08 Eastern Standard Time.
Motion to vote.
Yes.
Second.
Yes. So there's been a second. Any dissent? Hearing no dissent to the motion to vote, same voting members only, please vote in the participants chat. Yes, yes, no, no. If you have an abstention, please message me privately. Debbie, please also message me any of the proxy votes that you hold so we can get an accurate count. So yes, go for it, everyone. You'll have until 8:11. I'll give you some time. And this is a vote on the resolution itself.
Can we do a roll call?
I love the idea. I'm here for it.
Second, motion to vote by roll call.
There's been a motion to vote by roll call, so clearing everything. Is there any dissent to voting by roll call?
Nope. Can we do it quickly?
Seeing no dissent, here's how we'll do the roll call vote. I actually
I can do it if you want. It's just not going to be alphabetical.
That's okay. Wendy, we'll do it. Though, if you can do it, that'd be awesome.
And just to be clear, you and Debbie do not vote, correct?
I am able to vote, okay. And Debbie holds the proxy votes for some people.
Need a roll call.
Okay, so there has been a dissent to roll call. What is your dissent to roll call, Polina?
Why do we need a roll call? We can still vote through the general, like, voting thing on the side.
Yeah, vote when you're proud of and you stand by. You should.
Thank you for your dissent. We're going to vote. Is that how we do? No, we actually don't do that for this motion. I don't believe Debbie. We just go to vote whether or not to do the roll call. That's correct, right, Debbie?
Yeah, that's correct. You just vote on voting on the roll call.
Thank you. So in the participants tab for essay voting members, please click yes or no if you want to vote for roll call.
I guess I'm wondering why you're ashamed.
Brian,
I don't think it's an ashamed thing. We can see everybody's names. It's just going to take a while. Like, yeah, I'm trying to make dinner.
Your vote's on the... Your thing is still president's part.
Stay with your chest, then.
Yeah, so right now, what I have for a vote on the roll call, 10 to 12 to 1 on the roll call vote. Therefore, the roll call vote fails. We'll be voting using normal voting procedures, which in this case is still the click buttons. So your name still does come up. We're currently in the vote on the resolution. So please use the buttons to vote on the resolution itself. Reminder, this is the resolution with the subsequent amendments that we have made.
Yeah, but my question was, what was the vote? What were the counts on the vote to vote by roll call?
10 to 12 to 1.
Oh, okay.
So I'll give you till 8:13 to lock in your votes. Please lock in your votes quickly. And Debbie, can you please send me any proxy votes that you might have? Just the total of votes for yes and no's. So SA members, you should have your votes locked in. I'm waiting for Debbie to send me over the proxy votes. Thank you, Debbie. So the final vote with proxy votes is 16 in favor, 7 opposed, and 2 abstaining on the resolution. Therefore, this resolution passes. I appreciate the work that the co-sponsors did. I appreciate the work that the individuals who offered amendments did. I appreciate people for joining the Zoom call. So thank you so much, everyone. I hope you all have restful nights or whatever you are in the world. Please continue to wash your hands and socially distance yourselves. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
What was the final vote?
It's 16.
Motion to adjourn.
16 for, 7 against, 2 abstaining.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a second. All in favor. I'm assuming that's everyone. Thank you so much, everyone. Yep, and we'll be providing more updates through our listserv and to the members through our membership listserv. Thank you for, you know, all your hard work and all your advocacy on this. Okay. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.